If you have your Bibles near you, and I hope that you do, turn to the book of Matthew, the 28th chapter. I'll read the last two verses. Jesus told those that were listening to him that day, "Go, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." These are the words of the Master to his listeners. Jesus commanded those followers to take the good news of reconciliation and forgiveness to the ends of the earth. That mission is still standing today. Our charge is to both proclaim and embody the gospel so that others can see, hear, and feel God's love in tangible ways. When we are living out our faith with integrity and compassion in the world, God can use us to give others a glimpse of His love and character. It is God, not us, who works in the hearts of men and women to forgive and redeem. God Himself is responsible for the harvest. Yet we must plant, water, and cultivate. When we look closely at the metaphor that Jesus used in the book of John, the 4th chapter, I'll read verse 35 to you. He said, "Say ye not that there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest." We as evangelicals really hone in on this idea of the harvest. We believe that the fruit is already ripe and just needs to be picked. That's the way that most of our evangelistic crusades gear their thinking, gear their messages. But what about the fruit that hasn't ripened? For most of us who made our first time commitment to Christ, our stories was not of an instant conversion upon the first time hearing about Jesus. In fact, according to one research group, only about 6% who are not Christians by the age of 18 will become Christians later in life. It is rare that a first-time hearer of the gospel will cause people to instantly change their mind. It usually takes more than that. Our own experience involved a journey of discovery marked by relationships with respected friends and loved ones, readings, discussions, learning about the basis for the Christian faith. We saw the difference that faith made in the lives of people we knew. We witnessed genuine faith demonstrated through acts of love and kindness towards others. In other words, before we became ripe for harvest, a lot of other things had to happen first. Think about all the things that must happen before the farmer can reap a good harvest. First, the soil has to be broken up. The earth needs to be plowed, fertilizer churned in with the soil. rose tiller to prepare for the seed. Then the seed must be planted and covered, but still no harvest. The seedlings must be carefully watered, nurtured, and fed over the long growing season. There are sometimes setbacks, bad weather, floods, and insects that can jeopardize the harvest. But if all the hard work is done faithfully and with perseverance, if God provides favorably weather, finally, a glorious harvest. Haven't we all heard the stories of faithful missionaries who dedicated their whole lives in another country without seeing even one person embrace Christ as their Savior, only to learn years later that there was a tremendous harvest in the fields in which he planted? But isn't all that other work necessary in this metaphor that Jesus uses in John chapter 4? He did not ignore the principle of sowing before the harvest. Listen to what he says. He that reap receives wages and gathers fruit unto eternal life, that both he that sows and he that reaps may rejoice together. Jesus was aware that before the harvest, there must be a sower. He said, "Herein is that true saying, one sows and another reaps." Jesus told them, "I send you to reap wherein you bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and you are entered into their labor." Jesus is saying, they were other people that tillered the ground, that sowed the seed, that watered and cultivated. This had already taken place, and he says, now the harvest is ready. I'm sending you in to harvest. Others have sown the seed. Now you are going to harvest. Isn't this a beautiful metaphor? When we become involved in people's lives, work to build relationships, walk with them through their sorrows and their joys, live with generosity towards others, love and care for them unconditionally, stand up for the defenseless, pay attention to the poor, we are showing Christ's love to those around us, not just talking about it. These are the things that plant the seed of the gospel in the human heart. Didn't Jesus care about the whole person? One's health, one's family, relationships, behavior towards others, and their soul. Jesus' view of the gospel went beyond the decision transaction. It embraced a revolutionary new view of the world, an earth transformed by transformed people.